Grace, mercy, and peace be unto each and every one of you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is the gospel reading for this day from John chapter 9. I read for you again these words. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And having said these things, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. This is so far the reading of the text. In the name of Jesus, the only Savior of the world. What great news we hear today. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Like the man in today's gospel, you were born blind. Not physically, of course, but spiritually. In your sinful condition, you were blind to the things of God and even to God Himself. You missed much of the glory that God has revealed because your eyes were turned inward on yourself. You could do nothing for yourself. But God came to open your eyes so that you may see Him and His work, that you too may believe in Him and worship Him. Consider then the gospel reading for today. A man born blind. A life of nothing but darkness. How tragic. There's nothing he or anyone else could do to change his situation. Unless something happened, he would die in darkness, just as he lived. And thanks be to God, something did happen. To just such a one, our Lord Jesus came. He came to lead one born in darkness into the light. And how does he do it? He spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam." So he went and washed and came back seeing. What a sign that Jesus is the Lord. What our Lord does gives all new meaning to the expression, "Here's mud in your eye." The man came back seeing. We can only imagine his joy. Now, before the healing took place, Jesus' disciples had asked, "Who sinned? This man or his parents, that he was born blind?" You see, they thought that the man's blindness was directly related to something he or his parents had done. And they were thinking that somehow he was being punished for whatever that was. And yet that thought was not new at that time. For Job's friends had asked him what he had done to deserve the troubles he experienced. But Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him." Now, Jesus is not saying that this man and his parents were not sinners. What he is saying, that the man's blindness was not caused by a specific sin, a particular sin of his parents or himself. He was not being punished for anything they had done. So rather, The man's condition was an opportunity for God to reveal His glory. Now, this is hard to understand. After all, we generally expect only good things from God. So when someone suffers in this life, we too may assume that a person's done something wrong. We may even ask in the midst of our own suffering, what have I done to deserve this? Yet, all that we suffer is God's gift, so that His glory may be revealed to us and to others. As our Heavenly Father sustains us through the trials and tribulations of this life, He reveals His glory. Our problem is that through the trials and tribulations of this life, we just don't always recognize it. And usually, almost certainly, not at the time we are suffering. Now, when this news of this man having received sight got around, the people couldn't believe their eyes. They couldn't believe what they were seeing. When they saw this man, they wondered if this was the same guy they had seen before, begging. When he assured them that he was the one and not just somebody that looked like him, they asked, what happened? How had he regained his sight? He told them the simple story, and they wanted to see Jesus too. But all was not well, for while some marveled at what had happened, the Pharisees certainly did not. They were totally blind to the glory of God's work in this man. They were so blinded by their way of thinking that they didn't see that a new day had dawned. They didn't see that the Messiah had come despite the signs which indicated that He had. They missed the glory of God, which was revealed in their very midst. That's why they interrogated the man as they did. In their blindness, they refused to accept what the man told them. And yet, he was not intimidated at all. He told them over and over again what had happened to him. The Pharisees even questioned his parents, who then confirmed that this man was their son, that he was indeed born with that he was born blind, but they refused to say how he had received his sight. Well, the Pharisees questioned the son again, and he answered, I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become His disciples? This was too much for the Pharisees to bear. They reviled the man. And when the Pharisees accused Jesus of being a sinner, the man confesses, we know that God does not listen to sinners. But if anyone is a worshiper of God and does His will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. This man born blind clearly saw the glory of God, but the Pharisees clearly did not. And they threw the man out of the synagogue. But that was not yet the end of the story. For we're told that Jesus, having heard the man was thrown out of the synagogue, went looking for him. And when Jesus found him, he asked, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" The man answered, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him?" And Jesus said to him, "You have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you." To this the man exclaimed, "Lord, I believe." The man, who had known only a world of darkness, had now seen the light. Indeed, he had seen the light of the world. He had received a miraculous washing, which brought him from darkness to light, not just physically, but more importantly, spiritually. He'd been brought to believe in Jesus for the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. He'd been brought to confess Jesus as a man, a prophet, a man from God, and finally, the Son of God. He'd been brought from the darkness of unbelief to the light of faith. Now, as wonderful as this story is, we realize that it is also our story. We too are born in blindness, spiritual blindness. "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." We were all born in the darkness of sin. By nature, we are unable to discern God's love and mercy. We grope around in the darkness, believing that if we're to have God's grace, we have to earn it ourselves. If left to ourselves, we would remain blind. But God has sought us out. He has found us and restored our sight by anointing us with the waters of holy baptism. He has washed us and made us clean as the mud of sin was washed away. St. Paul tells us that in baptism, we were buried with Christ, and that our old sinful nature was put to death with all its lusts and evil desires. No longer are our hearts set on gratifying the desires of the flesh. No longer are we enslaved to self-righteous attitudes and calloused hearts. But now, a new man has arisen, just as Christ rose from the dead to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. Indeed, in baptism, we were given new sight, for we've been blessed with cross eyes. By faith, we see the cross upon which our Savior died. Yes, we too were completely born in sins, but we've been born anew by God's grace through faith on account of Christ. Like the blind man, we may not know everything, but one thing we do know: I was blind, but now I see. By the grace of God, we too confess, "I believe." And like that man born blind, we too will face opposition. We too would be questioned about what happened to us. Many will downplay the miracle of baptism and refuse to see that God is working in our lives. Others will want nothing to do with us because our lives are different from what they once were. We no longer indulge in sinful revelries as in the past. And this not from our own strength, but from the strength of Jesus' death and resurrection. And when we tell others what has happened to us, how we are made a child of God in holy baptism, many will refuse to see it. That is, they refuse to believe the very gospel of salvation. Jesus recognized this when he said, "For judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be made blind." Indeed, it is only those who realize their blind condition that can have their sight restored. For only they realize their need of a Savior. Those who think they don't sin, those who think they are not blind, that they can see, those who think that they can do it all by themselves, don't see their need for a Savior. And so they reject Him when He comes to them. God grant that we never do that. For the Bible tells us, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And if we say we have not sinned, we make God a liar, and His word is not in us. And yet He also says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thus, God has led us to see our sin as He holds before us the mirror of His perfect law. More than that, He sent His only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus, the light of the world, into this world of darkness and blindness to bring life, light, and sight. And Jesus did just that as He was born and lived that perfect life of obedience to His Father, fulfilling the law. Our blindness led Jesus to the cross. And it was the darkness of Good Friday that Jesus paid the price for all. But the sun's dawn on Easter morning sees the shining angels announcing that Jesus is alive and victorious over darkness. Light and life are His and ours. The risen Christ cures spiritual blindness through His anointing words, and He brings us sight and light. And healed thus of our blindness, we worship Him by receiving His gifts. Indeed, blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen.